Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Albert H. Yervadi, Doctor of Orthopathic Medicine, Ph.D., is an emeritus professor at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine. He grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania, left for the U.S. Army, where he met his soulmate, Sharon. After medical school, he completed two residencies and was an academic surgeon of national and international renown. When Sharon suffered a stroke, he transitioned to become a caregiver. And in 2020, he was diagnosed with an incurable cancer of the bone marrow and was transitioned yet again, this time to a patient. His powerful memoir, Wet My Hands, traces the influence the fates have had on weaving, cutting, and tying the threads of his life. The book resonates with humor, history, and passion. His follow-up book, This to Me, is a sequel to Wet My Hands, a continuation of Dr. Yervadi's life with Sharon and his career amidst major adversities. Wet My Hands and This to Me, powerful books that offer hope no matter what happens, tomorrow might just be a better day. And author Dr. Albert Yervadi is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Rick. This is really exciting, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, exciting for us. You've done such a remarkable job in these two books and talking about, with a touch of humor as you go through this, all of the setbacks you and Sharon have had and how you made it through this. It's a source of inspiration for so many people, and the books are doing quite well, and we'll give you all the information where you can get information, order the books as we go through the program. Let's start with, first of all, Wet My Hands. What was the inspiration? Tell me about the title, and what was the inspiration to write the first book?
Well, Rick, you know, at first I thought about writing a book called Wet My Hands. I always was kidding around in the operating room about that, and I thought I'd kind of trace what it was like to become a heart surgeon. Then I thought, you know what, let me do my life, and I'm glad I did, and went way back to grade school, the things that happened. You know, the changes that occurred when I met Sharon in the military, who totally changed my life, encouraged me, you know, going through undergraduate medical school, two residencies, and then a fantastic career until, again, you know, the big stroke had occurred that made me transition, then my cancer. And going through that, I wanted to give it through a lens of a physician provider who then became a patient. But all the things that I've gone through, surgeries and complications, and tried to kind of really, you know, connect with my audience, you know, what it's like. It was a big change, suddenly becoming a patient.
You were at the pinnacle of career when all of this started to happen. What a remarkable career, distinguished career you had, serving the country as well in the military, as well as in the medical field. You then wrote This to Me. Again, explain the title and why you decided to continue the story.
Yeah, the title came from basically from my chief of cardiothoracic surgery at the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center in New Jersey. And he would put his hand out to get the blade and say, "This to me." And then they would hand him the knife to start the surgery. I thought, what a great title. The second book, Wet My Hands, whenever we tied knots, you know, it would be your first book rather, Wet My Hands, we would squirt water to help the suture go down. So I thought these two things came from my training years.
And both of these books available, wherever books are sold, I'll send you to Dr. Yervadi's website. Very simple, Yervadi, Y-U-R-V as in Victor, A-T-I, books.com. Our guest is Dr. A.H. Yervadi. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I thank writersbranding.com for arranging our conversation today with Dr. Yervadi. What has the response been like to the books? Wet My Hands, This to Me. I'm reading reviews that have just been excellent and life-changing for so many people. What kind of response have you been getting?
Oh, it's been overwhelming. It is such a good feeling to know that I've connected with people have read my books. People say when they read my book, it's as if I'm sitting, like we are now, Rick, talking together. I'm telling a story. They feel that they can visualize me sitting there and just, you know, talking, you know, about this. And, you know, I've added humor in there, passion, love, you know, disappointment, resiliency. And that final thing, resiliency, is I wanted to also express in the books that all these things come at you and you just got to keep pushing on. You know, multiple myeloma cancer isn't fun, all the complications I've had in surgeries, but people are amazed how I've pushed through that. And I wanted to really express that. And so that, you know, people who read the book who either have family members or themselves with the disease, you know, kind of maybe get inspired to say, hey, look at this guy did this, you know, he has resiliency. Maybe I can get through this.
All that you've been through with Sharon and yourself, and you'll find the story in his two books, Wet My Hands and This to Me, Dr. A.H. Yervati, our guest on the program. That writing style, it's been described as conversational, breezy, compared to Norman Cousins' Anatomy of an Illness, which is a classic book. It's a writing style that you feel very comfortable. Again, you feel like you're talking with Dr. Yervati, as I am in this conversation, and getting the information. Besides reaching just average people out there, what do you hope the impact is with medical students as they may be reading this and maybe a more humanistic approach to what they do?
Well, Rick, you hit that word, humanistic. We're trying to change healthcare and making physicians more humanistic rather than, you know, kind of a, you know, paper, piece of paper, smart guy, gal, you know, trying to really connect with patients and people. And what I've done is for the past 2 years, and I'll do this again in July, when our incoming class, I signed 225 copies, you know, to the class. And I want them to read that before they start their first day of school, you know, after orientation the following week, because I want them to get a feel not only for the history of the institution they're going into, but what it's like to become a provider and then a patient. And I hope I make an impact on them.
And caregiver as well. And let's go back to that stage of your life. You are taking care of your wife. You're providing care and comfort for her. You're lifting a riding mower and you have a back issue and you think you know what it is and you found out it wasn't. It was much worse than you imagined. Talk about that, the impact of that, and how that changed you again from doctor to caregiver to, in this case, a patient.
Yes. When Sharon suffered her stroke, it was devastating. I found her at, you know, like 3:30 in the morning. I used to get up early, go to the gym, and I knew what was happening. And I even argued with the paramedics because they wanted to transfer her to a closer hospital. I said, no, you need to go to my hospital because they're a stroke, NIH stroke institute. And the paramedic argued with me and said, I got to ask my medical director. Well, it turns out the medical director was one of my former students. He goes, wherever he wants to go, send him. And I called ahead and got the team mobilized, and they extracted a large clot from her brain. Unfortunately, it took out her speech on because that's the left side of the brain. And now she has what's called expressive aphasia. It is so frustrating for her, you know, trying to express herself. And then the other factor happened was I thought I ruptured a disc. So I go get an MRI, and I'm talking to the MRI radiologist who I've known for 15 years and said, hey, how bad's the disc? He goes, guy, you've got metastatic cancer. Your third vertebra body's totally eaten up with cancer. And so then I had to call one of the oncologists who at that group, I did a lot of lung surgeries for lung cancer of their patients. And suddenly I became a patient at the center. Totally life-changing.
I mentioned incurable cancer. How did you deal with that? And how are you dealing with it now? And how is Sharon doing now?
Yeah, Sharon's doing fair. The problem is she's getting more dementia. And it has to do with the brain and the area that was damaged. And that's very concerning. For me, the multiple myeloma never goes away. You just kind of quiesce it. Right now, my markers are held at zero. But it's always hiding somewhere where one or two cells will start to act up. But right now we're doing really good. We're off chemo. And every time I get an ache in my bone, I get a little worried. But right now we're holding steady. Labs are looking good. And I'm feeling, you know, very good. I hate to say it because then something crashes. Because those darn fates, they'll come and cut that thread right away.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad to hear it. You look good. The video version of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, YouTube accessible wherever you view YouTube. And you're looking good. Being in the office every day, being around the medical community, is that part of the recovery that you're going through to keep you active, to keep your mind sharp?
Absolutely. I'm an emeritus professor, and my dean hired me back part-time, and I'm chair of the Department of Medical Education and Health System Science, and it keeps me connected with faculty, the students. I have a research lab with a colleague where we're training PhD students and other students, and I run the surgery clerkship for all the students who are on surgery. So it keeps me busy. I do like half days, and then spend the afternoon getting home to take care of Sharon and so forth. So it keeps me very connected.
The books are Wet My Hands and This to Me. Are you working on a third book?
Yes, we're working on a third book. I have a few chapters done, and that'll be called 30 Degrees on Bypass, another term that we used in the operating room.
This is sort of like a medical drama that's playing out in the book titles. It gives us an inside look at another fascinating aspect of reading the books from Dr. Irvati. And if you go to his website, you'll understand the progress of that. You'll know when the book's available and order the two that are available now, Wet My Hands and This to Me, IrvatiBooks.com. We've got the link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In your books, you express patient safety issues, something that we read a lot about from time to time and rather frightening as we're reading through some of the mistakes that are made there. What are some of the patient safety issues that you address in your book and you want to keep addressing?
Yeah, we're at the forefront, the Institute of Healthcare Improvement. We're the only medical school in the country where our students are getting certified CPPS, Certified Professional Patient Safety. We've got a 90%, 97% pass rate. We have close to almost 1,000 students, and we've got like 28 faculty that are certified, me being one. What it does, it gives you a different lens of looking at what are the issues that can occur. And unfortunately, medical care is kind of lower on the Six Sigma compared to aviation, NASA, the nuclear industry, and we got a long way to go to improve things to prevent problems as far as complications and deaths in the hospital. And I can tell you, now that I've got this different lens, I see these near misses. Many have happened to me. And I'm trying to really espouse that and be out there, going, look, this is extremely important. We need to fix this.
That's interesting, the perspective you bring to a very, well, life and death situation type of problems in many cases. What is it like when you are the doctor? In this case, you become the patient. You talk about you're catching some of these yourselves. What is that like? Do you ever relax when you're a patient?
It's interesting, Rick. I don't, because I'm always cognizant and I think having that knowledge. But I tell my students, I said, think of this, think of different people who are non-medical. They're just kind of, they have no clue. They're at the whim of whatever happens. I said, here I'm a professional, highly trained, fighting stuff, and sometimes people won't listen to me. And I can see the frustration by patients, by doctors and other people, not listening to them. And I always tell my students, when you see a new patient, they'll tell you what's wrong with them within the first 30 seconds of your interview. You just have to listen.
That's so important from a medical standpoint, from a patient standpoint as well, to express yourself. And you're saying to a patient, we really need to get to it, to get to what is the problem. And clearly, some people say you should even practice or write down what you're going to say to the doctor. Is that good advice?
Oh, absolutely. I think you should come well prepared. I don't think you should hold anything back. You should be direct, ask questions. If you have someone in the hospital, demand to get answers. What's the plan? Where are we going? Why are we still here another day? What are the issues that are delaying us to get well and get out of the hospital? The other thing is, being a professional, I've got a little different aspect. I can, text people on my cell phone, call people, other providers who are taking care of me. So I've got a little different area that I can impact to improve my health care. But think of all the people that don't have that. And that's why I'm saying we've got to do something to improve this. We've got to change the way healthcare is delivered. And that's a big a thing that my dean has really pushed out to the students, that we're here to really train you to really change healthcare.
The books, but written by Dr. Irvati, Wet My Hands and This to Me. His website is IrvatiBooks.com. A remarkable story, a surgeon with an international reputation. What do you think when you walk into an operating room? You see this all the time played out in the TV dramas and all of that, and you're thinking, what goes through a doctor's mind, a nurse's mind, as they're walking into that operation room? And you sort of got to leave anything else you're dealing with in life on the outside, don't you?
Yes, I think it's important, and I've always tried to espouse this. You build the team. You build the team in the operating room, and I believe that your outcomes are improved because everyone's working together. You're coming in there as the prima donna surgeon just doesn't work. You need to interact with people. They'll make mistakes. You help them correct those mistakes. You don't berate them. You help them learn. Then people will do so much for you. It was amazing as I built the team. They would go out of their way. It didn't matter if we had emergency middle of the night or weekend. They knew that if I called them into the operating room, it was not just at convenience, that we're trying to take care of people and improve outcomes. So I think it's that team building and being able to have your team express concerns or things that they catch. I learned that in the military and military aviation. Doesn't matter if you're a private or a general. If something's going wrong with the aircraft, you speak up.
I mentioned the background that you had in the military and now in the medical profession, the medical field. Did you learn something in the military? It sounds like lessons you learned there you were able to take with you when you made that transition to the medical field.
That's right. I did learn a lot of leadership skills, and I did it twice. I was enlisted as a medic and then back as an officer, as a physician. And I learned, you know, about the team. I learned about all your support people, how to treat them and get them to work for you, and other aspects that were learned that have to do with leadership and management. Those were really, you know, expressed, especially when I became an officer.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned leadership. We don't really think of that as being a valuable tool or something that a doctor, someone in the medical profession goes into. Talk about the importance of that, leadership skills, and is that a big topic of discussion now in medical school where they're focusing on that aspect of it?
Yes, Rick. I mean, I think it's we're trying to espouse to the students that, you know, you're not the captain of the ship. You're leading the team. You're counting on your team to help you as far as get through the day, take care of patients, especially surgery. You know, surgery can be intense. I mean, open heart surgery, sometimes they're long cases and need to have everyone focused and working together to do what's best for that patient. It turns out when you build that team, you become efficient and your time goes down in the operating room, less anesthesia, less complications and so forth. There's other things I always told my surgical residents. If something's not right, we don't leave the operating room. We're going to fix it here before we leave to go to the recovery room.
So many challenges in your career, in your life. One, balancing medical school and military at the same time. It's difficult, each one individually. The two overlap, and I would think that would be almost overwhelming. How difficult was that? What kind of challenge was that for you? But you had a lot going on at that time and still do, but a lot going on at that time.
Yes, I've always been an underachiever. I was number two in my medical school class. I missed number one by 0.36%.
Wow.
Not that it's affected me years later. But, you know, I've always been able to do that and tackle a multitask like that and feel that that's a driving force with me. You know, it just kind of keeps me going. And I've tried to, again, you know, espouse that, you know, to show people that you're committed, you know, 100%. When I would leave in the morning and come in or now come to university, you know, I like it. It's something I look forward to. I tell people and students that if you don't like your job, you need to really think about what you're doing, especially in the medical field and taking care of patients.
What is it like at the end of the day? You're excited going in, end of the day, probably highs and lows. You're able to help people, other people, you've got to give them bad news. What's it like and emotionally? How do you deal with that?
Yes, emotionally, you know, by the end of the day, afternoon when I go home early, then I have to, you know, take care of Sharon. And some days are better than others for her, you know, try and give her that attention, make her dinner, so forth. trying to figure out what she did during the day. You know, she asked kind of sort of what I did. Sometimes communication is difficult, but it's that kind of that refocus of being in the home and then giving her 100% attention, letting the emails and the phone go away for a while, and do that transition. So sometimes it is exhausting, but by the end of the day, you rest up, and the next day, you get going again.
Tell me a little bit about young people entering into the medical profession now. A lot of hours, a lot of study, a lot of debt, paying for medical school when you finish, a lot of pressure. What's the attitude of the people coming into the profession, and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, Rick, it's interesting seeing the transition that, required to go every class. Now students don't have to. They do much of the work remotely. They'll come to certain things that they have to, physical exam, those kind of classes. But some of the other classes they're doing online, and we're losing that connection. We had graduation yesterday, commencement of 232 medical students. And I was looking at some of the students. I couldn't recognize them, because they weren't in the classroom. The other thing is debt. Some of these students have $400,000+ in debt.
Wow.
It's absolutely incredible. How do you get out of that as you get out? And, I try and advise them and say, look, when you first get out, you're a resident, you don't get paid a lot. It's going to take a while. You can't have the big car, fancy house for a while. You need to kind of build up the savings, build up the stuff, get your security. Sharon did that. I didn't realize how much he did for me until I had to take over all the finances. And as I started uncovering, I said, my God, she was so conservative. I didn't understand why. Well, now I know why later in life, that you have that cushion, to be able to, get through and be comfortable.
So much motivational messages, so many motivational messages in the books, Wet My Hands, and the second book is This to Me, both available at Dr. Irvani's website. Been promoting it internationally, the London Book Fair, the LA Times Book Festival. What has this been like, getting your message out there and being able to get input from readers?
Oh, it's been great. The London Book Show, there was a mother and daughter came up, and the daughter said, hey, Mom, look, Dr. Irvani grew up in Allentown. And turned out her mother lived like a town about 20 miles away from where I grew up. It was like that connection. That was kind of exciting. At the L.A. Book, Los Angeles Times Book Fair, that was a great venue. I had books in both English and Spanish and interacted with both cultures and really, I ran out of books. It was
That's
a
fantastic.
Great. Yeah, and I'm scheduled for the Miami Book Show. That'll be in November, and I'm looking forward to that one as well. It's been an interesting experience, doing that, sitting there signing, and then just interacting and talking with people and explaining what the book's about. And as you do that, they're going, wow, that's interesting. I'd like to read this thing. So it's been a great experience.
What do you hope the takeaway is? People reading Wet My Hands, This to Me, what do you hope the takeaway is? Remarkable stories in there, told very well. Again, it's a breezy conversational format that you have, but when it's all over with, when they put the books down, what do you hope they remember?
I hope they remember, Rick, that, you start out, we started with nothing, in the military and so, and built everything up. And then devastation as you got older, that they kind of see that emotional roller coaster that can occur in a life, but see that what you have is still, Sharon and I still had that strong connection that we started with. And again, I never would be where I was or have been without her and her encouragement. And sometimes she was pretty tough on me, but there was a reason. She felt and saw a vision and felt that I could help people and patients. I actually developed a surgery that I published in International Surgery. It's called the Irvani procedure. That's been great. All the things that I've been able to do because of her support. And I think I want people to see that you find that anchor, you can connect to that anchor, and they'll help you get through the tough times and the good times.
That team, again, a team maybe is only two people, but it's amazing what two people can do. What a remarkable story that you have with Sharon and how she's motivated you and you the same in taking care of her. How difficult, I mentioned humor before, we'll wrap up it and talk about that. How important is it to have a sense of humor to get you through the challenges of life? There are times you can't laugh, but other times you almost need to stop and try to find that little smile that can lift your mood.
You know, Rick, we've always felt that was important in our marriage to have humor because that kind of offsets some of the other, you know, tougher emotions that you have. You have that humor, you can laugh and laugh with each other, and it just kind of changes the whole aspect. And, you know, there's some psychologists that have looked at like brain chemicals and laughing and humor and how that changes, and that's a healthy thing. So I think everybody has to have some humor. I put a lot of humor in the book as well, some of the things that have occurred. And people have come back, previous, you know, colleagues and from high school, I remember that. That was so funny when that happened. And so for medical school, you know, I talk about going on rounds and one of my medical student colleagues pulls out her stethoscope and out flies kind of her lipstick and whacks the patient right in the head. I mean, it was just kind of comical.
It's those moments you have to remember. And fortunately, Dr. Yervani shares these in his books. I'm going to take 30 seconds here at the end. For somebody who's listening and you're talking about, you know, doing challenges, that's one thing to say, but I heard incurable in cancer in the same sentence when I was with my doctor a week ago. How do I go through that? That's what you heard from your doctor, and you're here today and you're excelling, working with students, touching patients' lives, touching readers' lives through the books. How do you get through those periods when you think this is the end? It doesn't go any further. It doesn't get any better.
Well, Rick, you know, it's there. It's always there. It's in the back of your head. But I think what you got to do is, and I was told by one of our psychologists here at the university, they said, you've got to reinvent yourself. Then cancer won't recognize you. So I was a physician. Now I'm an author. And so I'm using that as a thing that I've reinvented myself, and my cancer is not going to recognize me.
That's great advice. We'll leave it at that. There's so much advice in Dr. Yervani's two books. The books are available wherever books are sold. Wet My Hands, This to Me. You'll find writersbranding.com. You'll find Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Link on our website. More importantly, if you go to Dr. Yervani's website, information on the two books, soon to be book number three. Yervani is Y-U-R, V as in Victor, A-T-I, YervaniBooks.com. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, that takes you directly to the doctor's website to get information there. Doctor, the time has gone by so quickly. A fascinating conversation. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we can do this again for book number three. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thank you so much.
It has been our pleasure. Our guest once again is Dr. Albert Yervani. The book is books are Wet My Hands, This to Me. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.